The psalmist writes in Psalm 119 and verse 60, I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. The psalmist said that he wanted to be quick about obeying the Lord. This morning we want to answer the question, why do you wait, dear sinner? What are you waiting for? Why are you delaying? Why are you taking a long time to obey what God wants you to do? One of the biggest ploys of the devil today, the biggest tactics that he uses to get people is to not obey, is to delay and just procrastinate and put off. And he's very successful in getting many people to do that. Why do you wait, dear sinner? We need to be quick about serving the Lord. We welcome you to the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that this issue will be helpful to you. When we turn to the New Testament, we find that there was a sense of urgency in the ministry of Jesus. In John chapter 9 and verse 4, he said, we must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus was very urgent in his ministry. He was always moving about, doing good, teaching others, healing others. He was always busy doing his Father's will. From the early age of 12, in Luke chapter 2, I must be about my Father's business, he said. And then all throughout his ministry, all the way to the cross, there was a sense of urgency. There was a sense of urgency in the cases of conversion in the book of Acts. When people heard the gospel in the book of Acts, there were many cases there where we find that they did that straightway or immediately or quickly. In Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Peter was preaching and he finishes his sermon in Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the people said, men and brethren, what must we do? And in verse 41, Peter exhorted them with many words, save yourselves from this crooked generation. There was a sense of urgency there, and some 3,000 were baptized into Christ. When Philip was preaching to the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and they're riding along in the chariot there, and he's preaching to him about Jesus, the eunuch said, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip asked him, if thou believest, thou mayest. And he said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And they both went down into the water, both he and Philip, and he baptized him. Here is water. What doth hinder me? I see what I need to do right here. And he did that. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 33, when Paul and Silas were in Philippi preaching to the jailer and his household there, it says, in the same hour of the night, the jailer took and washed their stripes. The jailer had been beating Paul and Silas in jail, and now he wants to change. He wants to turn his life around, and the text says that in the same hour of the night, he did that, and then he was baptized, he and all his household immediately. And so there was an urgency about that in the same hour of the night, in the same hour that he heard the gospel, he obeyed. The same with Philip, the same with those on the day of Pentecost. There was always a sense of urgency among many. We're going to see in a minute that some did not do that, but many did, and we need to have that in our life. There was even a sense of urgency in restoring erring Christians or a Christian who fell away. Some people today teach that you can't fall from grace, but we have Bible examples of that in the New Testament. We have Bible warnings. We have plain statements that teach that we can fall and we can sin and be lost. And there was a sense of urgency in getting an erring Christian to come back in Acts chapter 8 when Simon the sorcerer had just become a Christian and then lapsed into sin. Peter told him, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray if the Lord, perhaps the thought of thy heart shall be forgiven thee. And it was done immediately upon Peter finding out that Simon had sinned in offering him money for the laying on of the apostles' hands. There was no delaying or dragging it out or procrastinating or putting it off. Where is the urgency today, friend? Where is the immediacy today? Some are not urgent. Some just simply do not want to obey, and they drag their feet, in Acts chapter 22 when Ananias was talking to Paul, Saul, who would become the Apostle Paul. And he was talking with him about what he needed to do to become a Christian in Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on his name. And Saul did that. And we need to follow the example of the Apostle Paul in doing that. Why tarriest thou? Why are you waiting? Why are you tarrying? What is your delay? Why are you putting it off? Are you allowing the devil to get you just simply to procrastinate and put it off all the way to your death, or put it off all the way until the Lord comes and then you're not ready? Many today are like some in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, we find when Paul was preaching to Felix, he just wanted to put it off. Paul was preaching to Felix and he reasoned with him of righteousness and self-control and judgment to come. Felix was terrified and answered, "Go thy way for this time, and when I have a convenient season, I will call thee." Go thy way when I have a convenient season. It's just not convenient right now. And there's other things that I've got to put in front of the Lord. I can't obey him today. And that's what the devil wants us to do. When Paul was preaching to Agrippa in Acts chapter 26, Agrippa said to Paul, "With but little persuasion, or almost, persuadest thou me to be a Christian." Just almost persuaded. And we sing that in our songbook. Some people are just almost Christians, you see. And so urgency is not what it needs to be with many. Urgency is dulled. I believe urgency is dulled today by many things, by materialism. People are wrapped up in their things, their cars, their houses, their money, things that they buy, and it's not urgent on their mind to obey the Lord. Urgency is dulled by worldliness. People are engaged in all kinds of sexual immorality or drinking or carrying on and gambling and lying and stealing and cheating and doing other kinds of things, and they're having a good life, living the high life, and they don't want to obey the Lord. Sometimes urgency is dulled by indifference. People don't care. It doesn't matter to them one way or the other if there's a judgment day, a heaven or a hell, a God in heaven. It doesn't matter to them. They're indifferent. They've got other things going on. Sometimes urgency is dulled today by what I call pluralism, meaning plural or many, many religions. Many different plans of salvation, many religions, everybody's fine, we're all going to heaven, just going in a different way. And so I don't need to become a Christian, I can be a Buddhist or a Hindu or a Muslim or a number of other different kinds of individuals, and I don't need to become a Christian. And sometimes urgency is dulled by ignorance. People just simply do not know. And of course, if that's our case today, I hope this lesson will help to dispel any ignorance. But people sometimes just simply do not know what they need to do. And so they put it off. What are you waiting for? Why are you waiting? That's the question that we want to answer this morning on this edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. I want to ask a few questions this morning, friend. Why are you waiting? Are you waiting for God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit to do something? Well, if you are, you need to realize that they have already acted on your behalf. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, God would have all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. In Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, the grace of God has appeared to all men, bringing salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God has already set the plan in motion to save you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus has already died on the cross and shed His blood for you. There's nothing else for Jesus to do. And the Holy Spirit has come and revealed the Word of God in the mind of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 13 and following, the Holy Spirit reveals the mind of God to the apostles. In John 14 and verse 16, the Holy Spirit guides the apostles into all the truth, and that's what we have in our hands today called the Bible. The Holy Spirit has already done His part. Jesus has already done His part in dying on the cross. God has already done His part in sending His Son and providing the plan of salvation for all mankind. They've already acted on your behalf, friend. There's nothing else for them to do. Let me ask you this. Are you waiting for family and friends or others to get right with God before you get right with God? We certainly need to be mindful of our family and friends and others who need to be right, but we need to take care of our own responsibilities ourselves. We need to do what we need to do, regardless of what others do and when they do it. We need to be mindful. Jesus told Peter in John chapter 21, verses 21 and 22, "You follow me." And he was asking about John. Well, what's going to happen to John? Jesus said, "Don't worry about John. You follow me." In Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we're all going to have to give an account of what we've done. Romans 14, verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of the deeds that are done in the body, whether good or bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. We need to take care of our own responsibilities and do what we need to do and not worry about others. After we get our life right, then we can help others get their life right. And so a lot of times people just wait and procrastinate, and they make up excuses. They come up with excuses. They come up with ideas that just simply allow them to put off obeying the Lord. And we don't need to do that very kind of thing. In John chapter 14, we read about a parable that Jesus teaches with regard to the kingdom. And he teaches about how that some people make excuses. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 16, Jesus said, "A certain man made a great supper, and he bade many." This is representing God, who is inviting all to be saved. "And he sent forth his servants at supper time to say to them that are bidden, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" That represents all of the apostles and prophets and preachers of God's word who go out inviting people, "Come, for all things are now ready." "And they all with one consent began to make excuse." That represents the people that hear the gospel message and they make excuses. The first said, "I have bought a field and I must needs go out and see to it. I pray thee, have me excused." Think about people who make excuses for not obeying the Lord because of their work, because of some material things that they have bought. Another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come." Some people will put marriage or family or other kinds of earthly relationships before the Lord. "And the Lord's servant came and told his Lord these things. And the master of the house began to be angry and said to the servants, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes and cities and bring them in, the poor, the maimed, and the blind, and the lame.'" Notice that the master, representing God here, is angry. He's angry with our excuses. And he goes out and invites others. "And the servant said, 'Lord, what thou commandest is done, and yet there is room.' And the Lord said unto the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and constrain them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men that were bidden shall taste of my supper.'" All of the ones who made excuses were not allowed to be a part of that great supper. And so those who make excuses and never obey the Lord are not allowed to partake of the benefits of the gospel kingdom. What kind of excuses are you making? What kind of excuses am I making? And that may be a part of the nature of many individuals. I think about when God called Moses to lead Israel out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 3 and 4. Immediately he just offered up excuses. "Well, I'm not a good leader and I'm not a very good speaker and they won't listen to me." And he just offered up one excuse after another. That seems to be a common problem among many. Don't let it be among you, friend. It'll keep you out of the kingdom. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting to put your life in order? Sometimes people say, "Well, I'll become a Christian after I get something straightened out at home or at my house or at work." You start your improvements by becoming a Christian. The first thing you need to get in order is your soul with God. In Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5, when we're baptized into Christ, we're raised to walk in newness of life. That needs to be the first improvement over restoring our car, restoring our house, restoring something else, working on something else. Work on your soul's salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11, there were many there in Corinth who became Christians, but they had been thieves and liars and drunkards and homosexuals. And Paul says, you were washed, that's in baptism, you were sanctified, you were justified, set apart and made right with God. They took care of their lives first before they took care of other kinds of things. Are you waiting for the hypocrites to go away? A lot of times people say, well, I'll become a Christian, but I'm waiting for all of those hypocrites to get out of the church. We need to understand that there are going to be hypocrites everywhere. There are hypocrites at the store, but that doesn't keep you from going to the store. There are hypocrites in Springfield, but that doesn't keep you from coming into town, going to the post office and running your errands and doing other kinds of things. There's hypocrites everywhere, including hell. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse 51, we learn that the one who did not fulfill his talents was cast into outer darkness where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth, and that's where the hypocrites were. Yeah, there's always going to be hypocrites. Even in the church, even among those who claim to be Christians. But that should not deter us from doing what is right. They'll get their day. But you do what is right and you obey the Lord. No, friend, that's just an excuse. We're making excuses, aren't we? Everything is ready. All things are ready. Come to the feast. In Luke chapter 14 and verse 17, when we read that parable earlier, when the invitation was sent out, come, for all things are now ready. Are you ready? That's the thing. Everything else is ready. Are you ready? And you need to obey the Lord. Are you waiting for what friends and family might think? A lot of times people will not become a Christian because they're worried about what friends and family are going to say and do if they hear about it. Jesus said that we need to put Him first, even in front of friends and family. We need to love Him more. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 37, we read that very thing. Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that doth not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So we've got to put Jesus before all others. You need to be concerned about what pleases God, not about what friends and family think. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 29, I always do the things that please my Father. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10 that he was not pleasing men, he was pleasing God. And if he were pleasing men, he would not be a servant of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, when he preached the truth. He didn't preach trying to please men. And so we need to understand that what's important is what makes God happy. And He wants you to obey His gospel. He wants you to hear His word. Believe that His Son is the Christ, the Son of God. To repent of your sins. To turn around. To confess Jesus as Lord with your heart and with your mouth. And to be baptized for the remission of your sins. And to keep living faithfully. That's what pleases God. Now, your friends or family may not be concerned about those things, but you please God, and that's what's going to matter in the judgment day. What are you waiting for, dear sinner? What are you waiting for? Why are you putting that off? You know, a lot of people don't like to talk about sin. Sin is a violation of God's word. It's a transgression of God's word, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. And many people don't like to talk about that. They don't like to be called a sinner. They don't like to be exposed for their sin. But that's where it all begins with all of us. We have to admit that we have sinned. Paul said, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. And then in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God in Christ is eternal life. So we've got to admit we have committed sin. And we've got to wash that away in baptism. That's the first step. And like the psalmist, we need to say, I made haste and delayed not to observe thy commandments. Dragging our feet is one of the biggest tactics that the devil uses today. He just wants us to keep procrastinating and putting it off. And you know, sometimes we procrastinate about our health, something we need to change in our diet, procrastinating something that needs to be repaired around the house. But one thing we must never procrastinate on, and that is our soul's salvation. Are you waiting for the need to be saved? Somebody says, well, I don't need to be saved. Well, let's take a look at that. We might be thinking, well, I'm a good person, and that alone is what God wants. No, we find in the book of Acts that there were many good people who were good in many kinds of ways, but they needed to obey the gospel and have their sins washed away in baptism. Turn to Acts chapter 2 and verse 5. It said many devout men were present there on the day of Pentecost. Devout means God-fearers. But later in the chapter, they had to be baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts 2:38. In Acts chapter 6 and verse 7, it says a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Well, priests are good people in many kinds of ways, but they had to be baptized for the remission of their sins. In Acts chapter 8 and verse 27, when the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, we find that he had been to Jerusalem to worship God, and he was reading from the book of Isaiah. We would describe that as a very good individual, and yet he had sin in his life that had to be washed away. The same with Cornelius in Acts chapter 10 and verse 2. At the end of the chapter, he is baptized. He's commanded to be baptized. At the beginning of the chapter, he's described as a devout man. He gave much alms, or he was benevolent to the people and prayed to God always. Always praying, always helping out others, devout, God-fearer, and yet he had to hear the gospel and obey it and be baptized for the remission of his sins. There's a lot of good people who need to be saved by the gospel. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 14, Lydia, she was down by a riverside praying. Well, she was a very good person, but she still had to obey the gospel. And in Acts chapter 23 and verse 1, Paul said that he had lived before God in all good conscience before God. He was very good in many kinds of ways, but he was still a sinner. And he describes himself later when writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy that he is the chief of sinners. So even he had to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins. Acts 22:16. So somebody says, well, you know, I'm a good person. You know, I obey the law. I take care of my family. I go to work every morning. You know, I pay my taxes. I drive the speed limit. I'm a good person, you know, and I have a Bible and sometimes I read it. Well, good people are still lost. And that is all over the New Testament. Good people are still lost. Even Jesus said that very thing. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said that there's going to be people in the judgment day who think that they're saved because they're good. And in fact, they're going to be lost because they have not obeyed the will of the Father. It's not just being good that gets us into heaven. It's obeying the will of the Father. Jesus said, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. You see, that's a good person. But he that doeth the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, in the judgment day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy by thy name, and by thy name cast out demons, and by thy name do many mighty works? You see, that would be considered a good person. And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity, or lawlessness. They were good in many ways, but they did not obey the will of the Father. And so that's a very important thing for us to consider. Are you waiting for a convenient opportunity? That's what Felix was waiting for in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. He told Paul, go thy way for a convenient season. When I have a convenient season, I will call you. You know, that's just the devil's way of getting us to put off things. That quote unquote convenient season or opportunity may never come. And when it does come, the devil blinds us into thinking, well, it's not here yet, and we just keep putting it off. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, today is the day of salvation. You need to obey today. Somebody says, well, you know, I'm waiting because I need more knowledge. Well, we can spend a lifelong time in learning God's word, but we can learn enough to know what to do to become a Christian. I mentioned earlier that we're supposed to hear the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16. We're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, John chapter 8 and verse 24, and confess that, Romans 10, 9 and 10. We're to repent of our sins, Luke 13, 1 through 5. We're to be baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts 22, 16, Acts 2, 38, Mark 16, verse 16. And we're to live a faithful life thereafter. There are many Bible passages that tell us to live that faithful Christian life all the way to the point of even dying. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. What I've just mentioned there briefly is enough for you to know to become a Christian today. There will be time for growth later after you become a Christian. Jesus said that after a person is baptized, he learns to observe all that he has commanded. Matthew 28, 19 through 20. That doesn't come in one day. That you can spend a lifelong time learning God's word. We're to add to our faith. 2 Peter 1, 5. We're to constantly be growing in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3, 18. We'll spend a lifetime learning and growing. But we can know enough to become a Christian right now in a very short period of time. So we don't need to be saying, well, I just need to learn more. I need to learn more. I need to learn more. No, we can learn that very quickly. In fact, in the book of Acts, everybody learned what they needed to do in just one lesson. And at the end of that preaching or that lesson or that study, they became a Christian. They didn't just keep saying, I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to have more. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for a direct operation of the Holy Spirit or some calling from God? Because of the denominational world, many people are told that. But God calls us through His gospel. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, we're told that we're called through the gospel. When you read and hear the gospel, that is God calling you. We don't need to wait for an additional calling, some small voice in our head or in our heart. We don't need some direct operation of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is already operating as He wields His sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, Ephesians 6, verse 17. Somebody says, well, I'm just waiting for the Lord to give me some faith. Well, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. And so we can have all that we need with regard to faith in the Word of God. So many people are just making excuses. I'm enjoying my life now. I'm not good enough. I'm afraid I can't follow through. I feel that I'm saved. I've already been baptized, even though it wasn't scriptural. You see, on and on and on. Why do you wait? No more excuses, friends. No more delays. No more tomorrows. Some people say, well, tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. No more. We just need to get up and arise and be baptized and wash away our sins. Why tarriest thou? That's what Ananias said to Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul. Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. If we can help you to no longer delay and no longer procrastinate, please contact us and let us study together. Let us do what we need to do so that you can arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. And like the Ethiopian eunuch, you can go on your way rejoicing. Thank you for your time, friend, and we appreciate you joining us for another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program.